This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Thanks for being here this afternoon. With Veterans Day officially tomorrow, but observed today, we are doing our annual program where we talk to somebody who is a veteran and has got a long career in military service. And in this case, they meet all those qualifications, even though they're seemingly not all that old. So I'm trying to figure out exactly now, do we call you former Sergeant First Class Nick Marshall, or what is it? What's the official wording?
I haven't thought about that yet, but thank you for having me today. Some people still call me Sergeant Marshall. Some people call me Nick. I'm happy either way.
So talk about, now you grew up in Roseburg, right?
I did, born and raised.
And so you've basically, other than the military time of deployments, been here your whole life? Or
yeah, failure to launch, totally. No, I've just been very fortunate that I was able to have a great career in my hometown. That was really important to me, and when I had that opportunity, I totally took advantage of it.
So when was it that you knew you wanted to be in the military? How'd that all evolve?
Well, I would say I was pretty motivated my whole life. I had family members in the military. I remember seeing posters about the military. I would say the Veterans Day Parade heavily influenced my decision. Growing up, honoring veterans kind of attracted me to that. I'd also say that when I was in elementary school, I saw the Junior ROTC drill team perform, and I thought, that's pretty cool, and I wanted to be a part of JROTC. And then through that kind of experience, that really helped me decide that, yeah, I did want to start a career in the National Guard.
So the Junior ROTC, what age group is that?
Mainly it was freshmen through seniors.
Wow.
At Roseburg High, yeah.
So you graduate from high school. Mm-hmm. What happened after that?
Yeah, I left for Fort Benning.
So you were in right away.
Yeah, I was in. I joined when I was 17, a senior at Roseburg High in February. And then, of course, I chose to be an infantryman, part of the local unit here in Roseburg, Charlie Company 1st 186th Infantry. And after I graduated, shortly right afterwards, I went off to basic training.
Now, to explain how it is that you're able to join while you're still in high school and not, you know, obviously they can't pull you out of high school.
Yeah, keeping me in my recruiter mode here. The National Guard is very unique to where we can actually recruit high school juniors at the age of 17, as long as they have parental consent. And so even a high school junior, which I was too young, I had to wait till my senior year. But as a high school junior, you could go to basic training in between your junior and senior year and come back for your senior year. And that time in the National Guard counts as service with an understanding that you have to graduate high school. That's your number one priority. But for my case, I was too young, so I waited till I was a senior to join.
And then you went off after graduation to basic training. What was that like?
Well, it was 14 weeks of a very diverse environment. It was, the first time I really left. I've been to other places outside of Oregon, but like kind of on my own, meeting different cultures of people, being down in, in the South in Georgia, where the temperature is different, the culture is different. So it was unique. It was challenging for somebody from Roseburg to experience that at a young age, but I grew through that and I really appreciated it. And I think it made me a better person.
So how many weeks was that?
It was 14 weeks total. So the infantry training, it's unique where they kind of cram the basic and advanced training for the infantry job all together in one unit, same drill sergeants, all that stuff.
So if you're an infantry man or woman, mm-hmm. Yeah. what do you do?
Well, we're the people that find the bad guys, and we own the last 10 yards of the battlefield. So somebody has to go in and clear out areas and ensure that the area is secured. And so, yeah, we have a very unique role. It's not always combat role, but, essentially that's what you train for, is finding the enemy.
So you get out of basic, you come back here. Now explain at that point, are you in on a full-time basis?
So when I came back, I was, you know, the traditional 1 week in a month soldier. Shortly after September 11th happened, and that really changed the National Guard. We were the second National Guard unit to deploy on the War on Terror. And so in 2002, we started making movement to deploy to Egypt. Totally scared out of my mind, but turns out it was like the greatest mission I could ever go on. It's one of the best kept secrets of the Army, and it was really a great experience to go to Egypt.
How many months was that?
We were in country 6 months.
Wow. Yeah. And I know you can't always talk about what you were doing. Was it tied, though, into what else was kind of going on around the world at that point?
Yeah, so this, I understand what you're saying, but this is a very unique mission that is very publicized. And so you can actually go to MFO.org, so the Multinational Force and Observers, and kind of check out the current mission. We actually have some soldiers getting ready to deploy on this mission in the future. But in short, when Egypt and Israel had a peace treaty, the MFO was established with other countries around the world, and it was a way of just keeping the peace between Egypt and Israel.
And so you were just kind of out patrolling in different areas and that kind of thing.
Yeah, there was some. We used civilian vehicles at that time. We were out on these little tiny sites or FOBs, we'd call nowadays. And so you just kind of, you know, viewed from towers, and everybody kind of had a little bit different mission. But there's a lot of times where we did tower guard, and it was super boring, but important.
And pretty warm there?
Yeah, real hot and humid right there on the Red Sea, but couldn't complain. It was a very beautiful area for Egypt.
And you said a number of other people from this area were on that too?
Yeah, there's a lot of veterans that went. I mean, this was a long time, like 20 years ago, but I believe the unit's getting ready to do this mission again. So.
Wow. So you did that. What happened next?
I came back and continued going to college. I went to school at UCC, and had a really good connection with my recruiter, and I was able to be hired on as an assistant to a recruiter, and very thankful for that, and learned the ways of recruiting. And then in 2004, I had an opportunity to work full-time active duty for the National Guard here in Roseburg. And essentially, they made a one-person office a two-person office, and I was able to go active duty for the National Guard and be a recruiter.
So you were kind of one of the faces of that branch of the service then?
Yeah, I had a very unique role where I was in uniform majority of my day and life, and really represented the National Guard here in Douglas County. And I am very proud to have like a touch point with every single soldier's life, either helping them enlist in the National Guard here locally or helping them just with career guidance along the way. Is something I really cherish.
So you did that. You've been doing that for what? How many years of that?
Total, I did it for about 15 years. In 2009, I did volunteer to go to Iraq. And then in 2014, I had an opportunity to take over marketing for the recruiting command. And my bachelor's degree is in marketing. And so it was a really good fit for me, and I really enjoyed doing that.
So talk about Iraq.
All right.
Well, I mean, that was obviously a very tense time for a lot of ways. Now, was that the one where we worked with you?
Yeah, I did the call home. Yeah.
Brian Prowitz had this seat for the most part then and would do weekly or close to weekly calls with you.
Yeah. So our mission, it was the largest deployment since World War II for the 41st Infantry Brigade Combat Team, and our unit here is a part of that brigade. And so we deployed to Iraq. Every unit had a little bit different mission, but predominantly we were convoy security. So we would travel up and down what I would say the I-5 of Iraq, a major route, and we would escort trucks full of fuel or food or equipment, and we just ensured that those trucks got to and from in a safe manner.
How long were you over there?
9 months.
Yeah. And what was the scariest thing that you could talk about that happened?
Well, I would just say being on alert all the time. Because you just never know. You had to be vigilant. Vigilant's a good word. Wherever you were going, you as comfortable as you could get. Like, at first you're kind of nervous, but then after you get into the swing of things, you could become relaxed and you're just used to it. But I would say always having to be vigilant because you just never know what could happen, you know.
So is that like essentially being on duty even when you're off duty? I mean, mentally?
Sure, yeah. I mean, you're over there, you really don't have like an off duty, but you know, you're not on, you're either on your mission or you're preparing for your mission, you know, and that might include sleeping or working out.
And there's not probably a lot of opportunities to just chill and go to a park or something like that.
Yeah, not a lot of parks over there.
All right, more with Nick Marshall when we come back to interview a podcast after one at 541radio.com, 1246, a News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson at 1, Umpqua Valley Live at 4, talking about arts, entertainment, and community events. Veterans Day tomorrow, and observe today, Nick Marshall, retired. How is it that you're retired? Is that a term kind of seem odd? You're barely 40, right?
I'm 41, yeah. It's surreal. Like, when you... A good majority of my career, I helped young people decide whether or not they should join, right? And there's nerves that come with, should I join the military? And a lot of those nerves go away after they come back from basic training, and then they say, like, oh, I wish I would have just done it, you know, and not been so concerned. But I would say you have the same nerves when you decide whether you're going to retire or not. You know, you've been doing this so long that you're like, I can't imagine what life is like outside of this uniform. And I extremely miss it. But I'm happy that I made the decision that I made.
Well, and we'll talk more about that in a bit. How many countries in all did you get to go to during your time of service?
Well, I was very fortunate. I went all over the United States to include a little island of American Samoa. But as far as other countries, I'd say the big one were Egypt, Iraq, Kuwait. And then we set foot in Germany, but that was just through the airport. So I didn't have a ton of travel outside the United States in my path, but a lot around America.
But you got to go to countries most people, I mean, you got to go to a number of countries, any one of which most of us will never see.
Sure. Very thankful for that experience. I think I appreciate it more now than I did maybe back then.
So. Now, talk about the difference, the two main deployments are how many years apart?
Math is hard. So 2009. So it was about 8 years in between. So.
What were the differences during that time in your ability to communicate back home?
Oh, good question. So at the time in Egypt, we were just getting like internet, and you had to like plug your laptop in, and so I mainly called home. But Iraq, it was a lot more. I had internet in my room. I went to a time frame of Iraq that was a little bit easier than maybe some other people went to. So I did have internet ability, and I could call home and talk over the computer.
And did that feel odd to do that and know that your family's here in Roseburg and you're way over there?
Yeah, but I felt it was important. I needed that, you know, and wanted to let them know I was safe. The hardest thing was is when you didn't have internet, like it would fail or you were out on a mission, and then I was concerned that people would be worried about me. So,
well, and I remember a couple of those times when Brian Prowitz was doing the interviews with you. I think you normally tape those because mm-hmm. of the difference in the time yeah. zones and all of that. But I remember once later you talked about the internet being so slow that for you to download the podcast took like
yeah.
hours and hours and hours.
Yeah, I didn't say it was amazing internet. I just had internet.
Wow. And it's amazing how fast it's changed now. What was the most fun aspect of being a recruiter?
it's tough. I don't know. I felt like I always had a connection with my community. I could always go to events, and I felt in place. It was just, I don't know. I think my uniform helped me get through the doors to in our community. But I would say the kind of the rewarding thing is working with the people that I worked with. You know, even if they didn't join the military, the fact that I got to work with them and learn from them, or maybe help them in some sort of way. So building the connections in the community.
What's the toughest thing about being a recruiter?
Recognizing that every person that sits in front of you is somebody's child, and having to ethically still make sure that you're taking care of the needs of the organization, but yet always putting the needs of your applicant and their family first. And that is challenging, but I felt that I handled that fairly well.
Were there times when maybe you realized that a particular person may have been qualified but really shouldn't be joining?
Well, the important thing is if they weren't qualified, we didn't make them qualified. You know, if
you can't fake qualification.
Yeah, I can't fake qualification. But you know, if somebody is qualified and they were just concerned about joining, you know, you had to find the fine line between kind of twisting their arm to help them feel confident in their decision without pushing them into something that maybe mentally they're not ready for. And that, I feel, was like a challenge that I had to search in my own integrity to make sure that I was still doing what I needed to do to be successful, but yet putting those people first and knowing when to push them and when to back off.
How did you know when it was time to pick a retirement date?
It was kind of a little journey. I started exploring like being a substitute school teacher, and I realized that I really do like working with young people and helping them. And then a friend of mine who worked in education gave me the job, you know, release of the job I have now. And I felt like I could still continue to impact young people and help them and maybe even help more people in this role that I have now, as opposed to maybe just focusing on military service.
And what are you doing now?
I work at Umpqua Community College, and I'm on a federal grant where I go out to rural high schools and I help young people decide, you know, do they want to attend higher education? Do they want to go find employment? So I really work with students one-on-one and coach them and help them kind of build confidence and start thinking about life after high school.
So basically you're still a recruiter.
But I get to recruit for any, you know, organization or institution or business that they want to be a part of. So it's really whatever they want to do, and that's rewarding.
And how much time do you spend out actually on the college campus?
I'm on the campus very little, so I try and be out in the schools as much as possible.
And so you're getting all over the county?
Yes, all the rural areas, yes.
And is that going to be a long-term situation?
Well, our grant lasts for another 2 years. I'm currently going to college at Bushnell University for a master's program in clinical mental health counseling. And so I don't know what the future is going to hold necessarily with that, but I do have a focus of people I'd like to help, and I would like to move into the mental health community and help with that area.
So what are your overall thoughts as you look ahead to tomorrow being Veterans Day, and for the first time in 20-plus years, watching the parade, not being a member of the military? That's got to be, you may not know what you're going to feel until you're there.
Yeah. I've been thinking about it. I'm excited. You know, when you're in the military, everybody's supportive of each other. And so now being out of the military, I am no longer a soldier, per se, but I'm still here to support soldiers and military members and veterans. And so just have a little bit of a different feel to it, but still there to honor our veterans and help our currently serving soldiers.
Now, I don't know what the protocol is. As a former member now of the Guard, do you end up showing up tomorrow with your uniform on?
I could wear my dress uniform, but I think I'm just going to wear comfortable clothes.
And it's got to be interesting to have been in this role and see the folks that you're going to see tomorrow and just how long this sort of this legacy of service with all these veterans that go back from, you know, your age, even younger, clear to those from World War II.
Yeah, I think that's one of the coolest things about being a veteran is, you know, we wear different uniforms. We're served at different times, different branches. But one thing, regardless from World War II to current veterans right now, is we have that commonality that we all served in some form or fashion. And that brings connection and it connects the generations. And I've always really just thought that was one of the coolest things.
And you've obviously gotten to know a lot of these veterans during your time working for the Guard.
Yeah. I am very thankful for our veteran community here in Douglas County. I've always, you know, every morning when you put your uniform on, I always kind of take a moment and think about that there was people that wore this uniform before me. And if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't have had the opportunity to serve myself. And that's something I'm very thankful for. And hopefully in the future, I can be that person to support our future veterans.
All right, retired Sergeant First Class Nick Marshall from the Oregon National Guard. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thank you so much.
1258 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.